Welcome to Linoleum Knife. My name is
Welcome.
Oh, sorry. We're introducing each other. I forgot. Across the table from me is Dave White
of movies.com. Me. You tell everyone who I am.
If you'd stop talking over me.
I'm fixing to.
Across the table from me is Dave White of movies.com.
And that was Alonzo Duralde. And he writes for Movie Line. And he has also a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas that's out right now.
Available right now. So this week we are talking about Morning Glory, directed by Roger Mitchell.
And who is that dude?
He did Notting Hill.
Oh, he did Notting Hill?
Yeah, you like Notting Hill.
I like Notting Hill. Now Notting Hill's all right. I'm cool with Notting Hill.
We're talking about Morning Glory and Chris Morris's Four Lions.
So he made Notting Hill.
He made Notting Hill.
You see, here's the thing. I go into these movies and I don't ever
do the basic research.
No, I don't. I don't because I like to approximate the experience of being the kind of person who walks up to the box office
and says, "What
and
do
goes,
you got?
What do you got? I want to see a movie. I'm done shopping for now.
If you have ever worked in a multiplex,
I'm full of Wetzel's pretzels, and I want
what starts next? I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I just want to sit in the dark for a while.
You got
and put my bags down.
Yeah, you got The Expendables. I'll watch that. You got. You know, Morning Glory?
Sure.
I'll watch that.
I'll take it.
What's that about?
So,
I seriously go in and I see so many things. I see like 5 to 10 movies a week.
Yes.
And half the time, seriously, about 50% of the time I walk into the movie, I may know one or two of the people who are in it. Maybe, sometimes not. Like, I'll just walk in and
surprise me.
And I'll just be like, I don't know who made this. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, unless it's something I've been really dying to see, you know, like I knew that I was going to see Trash Humpers the day I saw Trash Humpers. I knew I was going to see Tilda Swinton movie.
I am love.
I knew I was going to see that because I love Swinton.
Yes,
but
one day we're going to have the episode that's.
I knew
all
I was
about
going to see Human Centipede because
arguing about
I love
Korean.
Human Centipedes. But I don't. What are we doing?
No, I just
we're
said
gonna
one,
have a what?
I said one day we will have the episode where we do nothing but argue about Harmony Korine.
It's going to be a rumble, too.
Yes,
because he's great.
Ugh, the worst.
His movies are awesome.
Poser, hate him. Anyway, Morning Glory, directed by Roger Mitchell, written by Aileen Brosh McKenna.
Oh, she's terrible.
Yes.
Okay, I take that back a little bit.
Like, okay, she did The Devil Wears Prada, which was okay. But
The Devil Wears Prada was really funny, but it failed because tell him.
Because it punishes the career girl for having career ambitions.
And that's stupid.
She needs a man and needs to give up these work ideas or she's going to wind up old and alone like mean old Meryl Streep.
And nobody needs a man.
No. Uh-uh.
Not even men.
You need a career.
You need a career. You got to make
get that money.
You need to get the money. And so this movie,
this movie is also
Devil
about
Prada, they sort of yell at Anne Hathaway because she wants to work all the time and have a career.
This woman and also wrote 27
Dresses, which is like a sinkhole of depravity. It's like
The Devil Writes Movies.
Yeah, it's this like the chick flick, and I hate to even use that expression, but
it's a chick flick that hates
that
chicks.
Hates chicks. Yeah, it's like oh my God, I have to be married. Right
a man.
Now. I have to be married right now.
Yeah.
And then the next one will be like, I have to have 27 babies right now. If I were a woman, I would bring a hammer into the theater with me and just constantly hit myself in the head with it. Like, because I can't imagine what it's like to sit in a movie, any movie, all the time. It's not even just movies that are aimed at women. It's just like all movies. You know, like what did I recently see with Michelle Monaghan?
Go to the premiere and hit
Michelle Monaghan was like the lady in the movie.
Due Date.
Just Due Date, right. You know what? I bet she could be funny.
She has been funny.
I bet she's been funny. What has she been funny in before?
She was in the Heartbreak Kid.
Was she funny in
The not very
nothing
good remake,
funny in that.
But she was okay
there
in
was
it,
nothing
though.
Nothing funny in that.
Oh, she's funny in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so Michelle Monaghan, she could be funny. But did the movie, did Due Date let her be funny? No.
Yeah, that movie, no. They could have
so
called it
like,
Due Date.
It's like when you go to movies and you just see, it's like guys. And then, you know, oh, here's the lady, and she's the lady.
She's there to suck the life force out of you be like the helpful doormat.
It's annoying. I notice it. It's annoying. I'm a guy, and I notice this.
But Morning Glory
is not terrible.
No,
it's funny.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be based on the trailer. Yeah. The basic premise
I was dreading
it. Rachel McAdams plays a young girl who has always had ambitions to work in morning news. And
she's got spunk.
She's got spunk, just like Mary Richards in the first season. And she gets a job at the Fourth Place Network for the Fourth Place morning show.
Right.
Becomes the executive producer, one in a series of them, and tries to fix things by hiring stately, Cronkite-esque newsman Harrison Ford into co-anchoring with former beauty queen Diane Keaton. And hijinks ensue. And while what the movie has to say about the media is kind of grotesque, like the Holly Hunter character in Broadcast News' head would explode over this movie because it basically champions the idea that, yes, of course morning news shows are fluff, and that's awesome. And if you try to make them serious, you know, get with it, daddy-o. But on the other hand, the movie does not punish her for being super career-driven and not, you know, focused on her personal life. I mean, the person who gets the speech about how having a personal life is more important is a dude like Harrison Ford says.
Oh no,
that.
He delivers the speech to her and tells her, "Oh, you're going to be old and alone." And she kind of just looks at him and goes, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah,
I'm busy.
But the movie does not punish her the way that they do in like Devil Wears Prada and so many other movies.
She gets to do it. She gets to have it all.
Yeah.
She also gets to have that Natasha Bedingfield song.
Yes, and what's his face? Patrick Wilson,
he's very blonde.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
But
I, you know, I laughed a lot. I was kind of surprised. The trailer made my teeth hurt. I thought this is going to be like a slog. And
your mom is going to super love it.
Yeah. Anyone out there?
My mom's already crazy for the trailer, and the trailer is sickening.
Yeah.
And so she's actually going to love the movie because she already loves the trailer. So
the really exciting thing is I think this kind of, if it doesn't break, it at least interrupts the Diane Keaton curse.
Right.
Because she is this, you know, extraordinary actress and wonderful, you know, screen comedian who over the last 10 years
has like
the
Mad
worst
Money.
Movies, Mad Money and
Because I Said So
and just one after another, you know.
Nearly everything since Father of the Bride 2.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
with a few exceptions.
It's like
has been barf on
like
toast.
Somebody cast some kind of hex during the shooting of Marvin's Room, whereby Meryl Streep got to make all the good, popular,
she got
successful
to keep being
movies,
Meryl Streep.
And then Diane Keaton would make all the poopy movies,
the anti Meryl Streep.
Yeah, but no. So it's good for Diane Keaton. She's in a movie that is not terrible, and hopefully it'll, you know, do some business. I don't know.
We didn't hate it.
Yeah,
neither one of us hated it.
Yes, I will stand by that. Didn't hate it.
And I have to see it again.
With your mother.
I have to see it again with my mom. Soon. Very soon, actually.
And she's going to have a very nice time.
She's going to have a very nice afternoon. We're going to go to TGI Fridays. And she's going to get the Jack Daniels steak, which is not bad at TGI Fridays, actually. And then she's going to have more Jack Daniels in her
Coke, a glass.
In a glass with her Coke. Because she loves Jack and Coke.
It's a theme lunch.
It's a, yeah. And then we're gonna go Morning Glory.
Now, when you see these movies a second time with her, like
I notice things that I did not see before.
Okay, because I was gonna ask, does your mind astrally project or something? Or
sometimes
really
I take
a
nap.
Okay,
but then she's been busting me lately for taking.
Well,
naps.
You snore. It's real obvious when you nap.
I don't
in movies.
Yeah, but I don't snore in the theater.
Yeah, you do.
No, do I really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Seriously?
Yes. That's why.
And you don't wake me up.
Of course I wake you up. When I elbow you, is because you're going or something.
Oh, I see.
Oh yeah. It's super obvious. If your mom can tell, it's you know, it is not discreet.
She's been busting me for having little naps lately. But I mean, like, sometimes the movie's not something I want to go see. She makes the decision. She picks the movie, and I'm compliant.
You are dutiful.
Yeah. And like, we saw Eat, Pray, Love. Like, I had to go see that again with her. She wanted to see it, and I went to see it with her. And I hated it less the second time around.
I didn't know that. I
can't say it's still – I don't think it's a better movie after having seen it twice. But
you just
I just felt more like – I don't know. I felt like, what would my mom be thinking while watching Eat, Pray, Love?
Eat, Pray, Love. Eat, Prattle, Love.
In English, And I just thought, well, I bet this is maybe, you know, for a lady in her 60s.
Listeners, should you should explain,
which
by the way,
my mom.
Why you don't know what your mother would think about Eat, Pray, Love when you watched it with her.
Oh, she had a stroke.
So, yes.
And she doesn't talk anymore. She just kind of makes noises. She can think, and she knows what's happening all around her. She just can't make the mouth words anymore. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's why there would
but
be
I take history. Her to the movies because she loves going to the movies.
Yes, she does. I've been there.
And it's not like she's looking at it and thinking it's a roll of Scotch tape. She it's no, she's
she
there.
She gets it. She follows
She gets
it.
Everything. Yeah. She just the stroke made her unable to actually talk anymore. Now, except with this little computer that she has that a robot lady voice comes out of when she touches a picture.
Is there like an Eat, Pray, Love cookbook? That seems like it would be an obvious.
I don't think there was enough food in the movie for there to be a whole cookbook. She only eats in Italy.
True.
She starves in those last two countries.
That's true, yeah. You don't want to eat.
She has diarrhea in India.
You don't want the India food.
And then she has, what's his face?
She bangs Javier Bardem a lot.
She bangs him a lot in Bali or wherever she is. And so they live on love.
Right.
In that segment of the film.
Well, the eat part needs a cookbook because some of that stuff looked real good.
Yeah, it's pizza.
Well, not just the pizza.
My computer just did a noise.
Yes, it did.
Who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about Four Lions.
I think
we spent like 20 minutes on Morning Glory.
So Four Lions is from a British satirist.
Chris Morris,
who is the guy who did
Brass Eye
and The Day Today.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy about four bumbling oafs with a dream.
Of killing everyone.
The dream happens to be being suicide bombers.
They're Muslim terrorists in London. Yeah, they want to blow up the London Marathon.
And three of them.
It's a comedy.
Yes, that's the thing. It's a comedy.
This is not open wide either right now. This is a movie in limited release.
But look for it.
In a couple months, it's going to be on Netflix, and you can have it then.
But if it comes near you, you should. This is the kind of movie.
Unlike Trash Humpers.
Which is Netflix.
Not on Netflix. Yes, I know. Stupid Netflix.
And even as much as I hate Harmony Korine, I'm against Netflix not carrying.
Why would you not do it? Like, what? Did they make an aesthetic decision? I've seen the goriest, nastiest, gnarliest horror movies streaming on demand.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
No, I have no idea what their official reason
and
there's, was.
I don't understand. I don't get it. What is that about?
But Four Lions is the kind of thing that people should support in the theater if they can. Because,
yeah, you should. Because
it's ballsy.
Well, yeah, it's not just it's a comedy. That's
it's
not,
a comedy
it's not,
about jihad.
Well, no, say it right.
Well, it's a what?
It's not a comedy about. It's not a comedy that thinks terrorism is funny.
No, of course not. But it's a comedy about what
stupid terrorists.
But yeah, what if you made a movie about four guys who wanted to be terrorists?
If the Three Stooges were terrorists,
exactly,
who
were too inept
to
be suicide bombers, and that is where the comedy comes from, and it's. It's incredibly funny.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It goes there with seriousness on in moments you're not expecting.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of taken aback. Like when the main character is talking to his family, his wife, who's a nurse, and his little kid. And he's like, yes, I will blow things up and die. And I will be a martyr. And they're like, yes, that's great, Dad. I mean, like and it's a serious moment in the movie and they're into it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, terrorism is real, you know.
But
like,
but it also kind of goofs on how the media handles terrorism and how
the government handles
the government
terrorism.
And like the people that are supposed to be protecting us. So it is.
It's the funniest movie I've seen all year long.
It is hilarious. And
when they make me give star ratings on movies.com, I really don't ever give fives. Back in the day, we had grades, and I would give A's and A minuses, but I would never give A pluses. And when they transferred us over to Stars, all my A's became five stars, sort of wrongly. But, I don't actually care. But I don't usually give fives because five is for the perfect movie.
And?
There aren't many of those.
You gave this five?
I gave this five.
Awesome.
Because it's not a perfect movie, but it's...
It's audacious.
It's daring and people should see it.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really brutally funny.
And it's not just that it's this bold satire. It's really funny. And it just like it builds and the characters are
like
really
it's in the
funny.
Loop funny.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it just goes further and further out on the ledge where you think, oh my God, there's no way they can pull this off. And the whole thing works. So
it is,
by all means, go see that flick.
I hate that word so much.
Why do you have such a problem?
I have a real, it sticks in my head, that word. I can't get it out of my throat. I can't say flick. I mean,
Tracy Flick.
I can't say flick in describing a movie.
Well, when I was in college, every Friday in the paper, I had a column that was called Weekend Flick.
You name that column?
I don't know if I named it or if I inherited it. I forget. But anyway,
if you named it, then there's something wrong with it.
I just got used to flicks, and so I don't have a problem with saying flicks.
I'll say Netflix, but that's because it's their name.
Well, no one's making you say it. It's okay.
Right. But it's embarrassing when you say it. Don't shush me. I'm not a little baby.
Aren't you just
shushing?
Do you want to talk
real quick? Time?
No, we're about maybe halfway through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. We busted right through.
We
this.
Did. Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about movies you haven't seen.
Okay, and I can talk about movies you haven't seen.
All right, you haven't seen Skyline.
Correct. Which and I hear is poop.
It is poop. It is a poop movie, and
yes.
It's about aliens. But the alien part is not the poop part. The aliens
because it's
great.
Made by these effects guys.
Yeah,
like, this is their
it's
first.
Made by these effects guys. The last name's Krauss. They've been around forever. They've worked on Titanic. They've worked on a million movies, making everything look awesome.
So that part they know how to do.
Yeah. So they make these great aliens that look like floating Frank Gehry buildings with tentacles in the sky. They're just this asymmetrical, sort of confusing to look at. Like, you look at them and you're like, I don't even understand what's happening with that creature. Is it a machine or is it a monster? And the answer is yes, it is
gotcha.
Both. It's part mechanical. It's alive. They're great. They are great aliens. And I wish
there was a better movie.
I wish
them.
There was a good movie involved in this, you know, because when they do their alien job of killing and eating, you're cheering them on. Because not only are they doing it incredibly stylishly, but the people in this movie are all jerks. And
do you root for the aliens?
Yeah, you are. After 5 minutes, you realize, like,
destroy Earth.
It's kind of like in Cloverfield. You know how kind of douchey the people in Cloverfield were?
Yes.
Well,
but they were written that way.
Those people were like Dorothy Day. Okay, compared to
Google it, kids.
Yeah, those people were the Dorothy Day compared to the people in Skyline. The people in Skyline, they're in Los Angeles, which I suppose is some sort of like commentary. Oh. You know, come to Los Angeles, aliens, and
low hanging fruits.
Everyone here because everyone sucks here. But they really do. They sit around. Phone's ringing. Get that phone. We don't even care. Pick it up. You picked it up and you hung up?
Yeah.
That'll teach you to call us during our podcast.
That's right.
What was I even saying?
Skyline.
Oh, they come to Los Angeles and it is ostensibly, you know, it's sort of like they picked LA because everyone was so terrible they deserved to die. And the characters are so empty. There's one point so funny where there's an alien attack going on. People are dying. They're getting sucked up into the sucky part maws of these tentacle
of the Frank
beasts.
Gehry things,
yeah.
Yes.
And Brittany Daniel of Joe Dirt fame.
Ah.
She says to Donald Faison, who has just recently cheated on her before the aliens came, we have to talk about this. And he goes, let's talk about it later. But it doesn't matter because then they both get killed.
Oh, well. Spoiler.
But you're like, I'm sorry, there's a monsters outside.
Let's talk about a relationship.
Yeah, let's
some
talk
other
about our
time.
Relationship. This is the kind of movie, and the movie doesn't even mock them really for that. It's sort of like, this is just what people would do, obviously.
When facing death
oh, from a monster. So then I saw Unstoppable as well.
Unstoppable
is not based on the song by Mellencamp. Which was not called Unstoppable.
I know. I just like saying Unstoppable.
Sing the real song.
Well, I like doing my joke version, which is train, train, train,
okay,
train,
do
train, 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 train.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because there's a train in Unstoppable.
There's a runaway train. It's got toxic chemicals. It is a missile the size of the Chrysler Building, says Rosario Dawson. And then Denzel Washington and Chris Pine from Star Trek, they have to get on the train. They have to hop on that train and stop it.
And the train has children on it?
No. The train's going to hit the kids.
Oh, okay.
On the other train that's coming in the opposite direction.
But there's two trains.
There's a couple trains.
Ooh, okay.
There are several trains.
Awesome.
In this movie, but one of them is the monster killer train.
The missile.
It's like the Jaws train.
Gotcha.
It's like, and they shoot it in a way that this train really, it's like this train has an anti-person vendetta. Like, it is so
Thomas the Tank Engine has had it.
Yeah, Thomas the Tank Engine has had it up to here.
This time it's personal.
Yeah, and but it's great because you know how it's going to end, unless you've never seen a movie before, and yet you don't care because you're so happy watching the train destroy things and stuff get blown up, and it's all real, no CGI.
All of it, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And Tony Scott, he's that kind of director where everything's really loud and
yes.
and hyper. And
but, you know, I haven't seen some analog effects in a while.
So these are analog effects.
I will go for that.
These are practical. Yeah. Okay. These are real effects. These are not computer. Jen, my movie criticizing bro on movies.com, she didn't like it.
Well.
I read her review and I just thought it was hilarious. That she hated Morning Glory and she hated Unstoppable. And I told her, I go, dude, you were hardcore this week.
I say you're usually the tough one.
I'm just a softy. I love cute Rachel McAdams movies, and I love train
disaster movies.
I love disaster movies. Yeah.
Now the two movies that I saw that you have not seen are both documentaries. Actually, one is playing pretty around the country called Inside Job, and it's basically sort of like how the economy went to hell in a handbasket, and it's fascinating.
Obama did that.
No. It goes way back.
I heard on the TV that Obama did all of this.
Well, it's interesting because like it really, really kind of starts with Reagan, as you might imagine. But like
that's a surprise.
But the thing is, here's the thing though.
I'm shocked by that.
But this is not a lefty movie because Clinton and Obama hired the same guys to run the economy,
right.
Who and the Bushes and Reagan did
they
too.
Ran it into the ground.
Yeah, so like Larry Summers and the other guy that Obama had who was sort of running the Treasury.
I'm
blanking on his name. Anyway, so no one has clean hands in this one. But what's great about Inside Job?
Except me, I'm great.
You are. What's great about Inside Job is that it made me finally understand what a credit default swap was and what a that other thing, where they would take the mortgage and then the derivatives.
Oh, the cling clang matink ting.
The cling clang matink ting. What a derivative is. They use pictures, and that's how I understood finally what a derivative and what a credit default swap were.
So I don't want you to explain it. Right
no, I couldn't. I just get it in my head. But if you see Inside Job,
I will finally
you will understand. That's what's so awesome about this movie. So very highly recommend that one. I also recommend a film called Marwan Call.
What does that name even mean?
It's a name
that's hard to pronounce. It's hard to say.
It's a made up name from like it's like parts of three different people's names. But it's about this guy who basically got like the crap beaten out of him by these dudes in a bar one night.
Why did they beat him up?
Well, we find that out later in the movie. I don't want to get into that.
Oh, it's a spoiler if you tell.
Yeah. But okay. But anyway, he goes into a coma, and it's one of those deals where when he comes out of the coma, he has to relearn everything.
And this like, really happened.
This really is a true story. It's a documentary. Okay. Yeah. Right. He had to relearn, like, you know, how to tie his shoes and how to speak and walk.
Where's this guy live?
I think in the Northeast. And so anyway, so he winds up creating this entire little town in his backyard called Marwan Call. And it's this like it's a fictional sort of Belgian town during World War II. And he's got all these dolls that are like him and that are other people who are in his life. And
what happens when it rains on the town?
They don't get into that. And I was wondering about that myself. But anyway,
what happens in the winter when it snows?
They don't really talk about that either. But anyway, it becomes this.
I hate it when they leave parts out that I have questions.
You always
about.
Have questions. It becomes this big art project, and like this one dude like takes pictures of it, and why he winds up getting like a gallery show in New York. But it's really not so much about the art world stuff as much as just sort of this guy working through his own, you know, trauma from having been through this ordeal and how creating this sort of fake world unto himself is sort of part of his therapy. It's a really fascinating film. I highly recommend it. Marwan Call, M-A-R-W.
It's playing in L.A. right now.
Yeah,
right? Just opened.
Yeah, just opened at the New Art.
The New Art, yeah.
M-A-R-W-E-N-C-O-L.
Which is a very nice theater. One screen.
Yes.
No waiting.
No, you're not going to like the quiet, you know, Maggie Smith movie and listening to bah, 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 coming through the wall from, you know, Michael Bay in the next multiplex.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
that's... Did we have any questions from last week? Did anybody ask us anything? Did anybody have any comments tell us?
Well, there were complaints about, like, the audio. And sorry, yes, this is all coming through your left channel, people, because this is mono. Because it's mono.
It's mono?
Yeah.
So if you're wearing headphones, they're only hearing it in their left ear?
Yes.
What about happens in the right ear?
Nothing.
Right ear? You don't get it in both headphones at once?
I don't think. I think it just comes to the left. That's what I'm being told.
That sucks. Why would you want to listen to this?
That's...
How can we fix that?
I don't know. That's the person
who... You need to get on it, tech
the
guy.
The person who sold us all this always did her show in mono, too.
There goes my beep again.
Yes, it does. So, you know, so if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for us. Hopefully our levels are better. Cobb, our friend Dave Cobb.
When I listen to the Popcorn Mafia, I get it in both ears.
Well, then maybe we're in both ears.
But I get gray
We're one channel, so. Mm. And then and our friend Dave Cobb made some suggestion about something I was supposed to do in GarageBand, but I have no idea how, so he can come over and fix that for us sometime if he wants. Because I don't know. Something about auto compressing or something. So if one of us is louder than the other, sorry, we're still working on this.
Yeah. Are we done?
We can be, yeah. Just,
how many minutes was that?
We're coming up on half an hour.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
So we don't want to go more than half an
hour. Let's plug some stuff real quick.
More people.
Other podcasts we love. The Comedy Couch with Dennis and Tony from our friends Dennis Hensley and Tony Tripoli.
Yeah.
The Popcorn Mafia, as mentioned, with Gray Drake.
Right.
The IFC podcast with Matt Singer and Allison Wilmore. They are terrific. And, of course, Blowhard featuring our friend Malcolm Ingram.
That's correct.
And with Kevin Smith and or a variety of rotating guests.
Right.
And as Dave
mentioned. You're going to be on. No.
No.
Are you going to be on Blowhard?
No, I'm going to be on Popcorn Mafia.
But what about the other sister? Is that a thing that's going to happen?
I don't know.
Is that going to be a podcast?
I don't know what's
happening.
You're
going to co-host the screening of the other sister.
Yeah.
At the Smodcast.
Right, but I don't know.
When is that happening?
I don't really know yet. So
you don't even know the date?
They're not sure. It might be Thursday, but I don't know.
Are you making this up?
No. No one's gotten back to me with a firm answer. So when I know, I will share with the Linoleum Knife Nation, whatever our listeners are called.
We have some metal outro music? Because we had that sort of Pizzicato 5 stuff at the beginning. And I think because our title comes from a song by Mastodon, I think we need to have really sort of doom outro music.
Yeah, nobody but you wants
that. That's what I want.
No.
I want that. Yeah. That's a yin and yang. Like, you have your sort of jumpy, bouncy, colorful stuff at the beginning, and then at the end we let them understand that life is pain.
No, we're not doing that.
I want to do that.
No. As Dave mentioned at the top of the hour, my new book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, is now available, and I will be on the road in December hosting screenings and bookstore appearances in various cities, and we'll talk about that more as we get closer as well. So that's us this week.
I never get my way. Bye.
that's right. You never will. Thank you for joining us. Tell your friends. And you can always drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.